Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this edition of Creative Caravan Roadshow. I'm Suzanne Lawrence, and I'm here today with my co-host, Wendy Dewar-Hughes. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you today?
I'm good. Boy, the weather's turning cool here in the south, so it was 97 degrees yesterday, and I think it's in the 70s is the high today, so real change here.
Well, we're nowhere near that. We're considering it warm, and it's about 60 here.
Yeah, I'm ready to get back to Florida before it gets too cold, but that probably won't be till January. But anyway, it's a nice day today. Now, you and I are going to talk a little bit about this new Summersby Island romance series that we've got coming out. Actually, the first book has just come out, and it's called The Summersby Island House. So let's talk a little bit and let people know, you know, how did we get the idea for this series? Do you remember?
Well, that's a good question, because it kind of developed over time, you know, with getting to know each other. We should maybe tell a little bit about our history together. Suzanne and I actually connected on Facebook originally a few years back because we both love the beach. And she would post pictures of the beach where she was living, and I would ooh and ah over her pictures and comment. And gradually we kind of got to know each other and then realized we were in the kind of the same line of work, which was writing, publishing, coaching writers, and that kind of thing. And so, you know, one thing led to another, but we also, as writers, love to write, and we love the sweet romance genre. And so we started thinking about creating a series together, because a series is always fun to read, because you can, you know, kind of connect with the characters and keep track of who's doing what. And, you know, it's fun to write too, a little bit more complicated than a standalone novel. But anyway, we decided to do this series, and we wanted to set it on an island off the Gulf Coast of Florida, because we've both spent time there and both just love the area. And so when we talked about it, we couldn't decide really what island to set it on. So we decided to basically make up our own island. And that's been so much fun, because we did quite a bit of research about, you know, different things about the area. But then we just made up our own island. You know, I drew a map, and, you know, we're adding things to it all the time. And then we've created characters, and we have quite a bit of the series already in the early mapping stages, but that's a little bit of an overview of how it came about, and it's just been so much fun.
Yeah, it is fun creating your own island, you know. It's just like, after a while, you begin, I know I do, and I'm sure you do too, I kind of see the place in my head, and I can hear the people talking, and I see where all our characters live, and, you know, how they interact and what they do. I see the stores and the little places we've put there, because, you know, we wanted to make a cute island that people would enjoy reading about, and it's just been fun, you know, doing that. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
It would be interesting to see if we actually envision the same things, because coming from different backgrounds, you tend to attach visuals to memories that you have. So when you talk about the mercantile store, you probably see something a little bit different than I see, but it doesn't really matter, because and occasionally we've pulled pictures so that we can go, well, this is what this person actually looks like, and this is what this place looks like. But otherwise, a lot of it depends on our descriptions in the books, which then allow the reader to visualize not necessarily exactly what we see, but to put their own memories into it and visualize what the island would look like to them.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true with any book. You know, it just depends on the reader, in a sense, as to how you're seeing it. Because I know a lot of times I'll read a book and my husband will read the same book and we've read the same thing, but he gets a different picture in his head than I do of, you know, exactly what the place looks like or who the characters are like. But it's kind of fun. And, you know, I think one thing, anyone listening, if you're considering doing a series, one thing we've found that's been really helpful is when Wendy created that map for us of the island so that, you know, we're sure where everything is in relationship to everything else. We can, that helps us more clearly envision where the characters live, where they're shopping, you know, where they're going to school, all that kind of stuff. So that's been kind of cool too. Neat to do that. Well, Wendy, let's give people a summary and tell them this first one, the one that's debuting the series, is called The Summersby Island House. So tell people about it and why did it get that title?
Well, the idea, like I said, we've been collaborating on the series, but actually we're taking turns writing the books. So this is the one that I actually wrote with Suzanne's input and, you know, final edits and all that kind of thing. But the idea for it, for me, came from the idea of having a house on the beach, which has been one of my dreams. And I thought, what would happen if, you know, and this is how a lot of stories happen or how they are created, is what if this happened or what would happen if? And so I thought, what would happen if this person who had a dream of a beautiful life but had no hope of it, what if she was actually able to have that dream come true almost out of the blue? You know, very unexpectedly, to be able to have a house on the beach. And so that's kind of where the seed that it started to kind of grow out of. And so the story itself is about this young woman who's in her early 30s, who was raised by a single mom, moved from place to place, and she longs more than anything to have a home and a family. Her mom passed away a few years before, and she was living in Chicago and had a high-powered corporate job and a romantic relationship with someone at the company who was, you know, an up-and-coming success himself. And everything falls apart in one day. The company has a merger or a takeover, and she loses her job. Her boyfriend, who she thinks is about to propose, decides that it's not for him, and she gets home from work devastated to find a letter telling her that she has to move out because they're going to renovate the apartments and sell them off as condos. So all those things happen in one day, and she does the only thing a smart woman does. She phones a girlfriend and says, what will I do? And her friend lives on Summersby Island, and Sherry says, you know what, I think there's a job where I work. Why don't you just come down here? You've got nothing to stay there for. So that's how the story happens. And she is, I'm not going to give too much away, but let's just say to things happen that really surprise her.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great. I think that's, you know, kind of fun, too, when you start with the premise of what would happen if somebody who had no hopes of getting a house or getting what they really wanted is forced into these circumstances where it seems like now it's going to be more impossible than ever, but then something happens and kind of changes that and turns it around because, you know, we've all wanted that. To something, you know, to change things to where we can finally get what it is we really want. So that's kind of fun to just start with that little premise and work from there. So I think it's a fun story that people will enjoy reading.
I was just going to say the same thing. I think it's something that a lot of us can relate to. A lot of times you yearn for something and you kind of don't have a lot of hope of getting it, but your longing and your wanting almost turns your attention toward it, and gradually or suddenly it can happen. And I think everybody can relate to things like that going on in their lives, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And I think you're right. You know, you think something's unattainable, but the more you turn your attention to it and really focus on having it instead of not having it, then the more things fall in place, and then you get it. And that's kind of, you know, is what happened to me when you said I was living at the beach, and that's how it happened. I didn't think I was ever going to live at the beach, and then all of a sudden I was. So, you know, some things just turn out like that. So it's fun to read and see how that goes. Well, Wendy, do you have an excerpt picked out that you could read for us to kind of give us a feel for the book and the island there that we've created?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to do this. I actually love reading aloud. I used to do it to my kids, and it was always fun. In high school, I was always the one that was chosen to read aloud. And I'm going to just read a couple of little excerpts because we want to kind of show how things change and what can happen. And so I've just picked up a few. And this is the scene is where Lana calls her friend Sherry in Florida. "Listen," Sherry said after Lana stopped blubbering into the telephone, "why don't you come home to Summersby Island? My branch manager told me this morning they're thinking of adding another loans officer to the staff. I'll put in a good word for you if you like." 6 days later, after giving away most of her household belongings and packing her suitcases, Lana boarded a flight for Florida. As she gazed out the plane window over snow-covered Chicago, she blew a goodbye kiss to the city below and settled into her seat. She closed her eyes and allowed her thoughts to roam the place of her childhood, the island to which she thought she would never return. In her mind's eye, she could see the palm trees swaying in the offshore breezes and could almost feel the warm sand between her toes as she wandered the shoreline searching for shells. Before leaving Chicago, Lana had called ahead to the island and made a reservation at the Summersby Island Motel, a bright little motel that had been there for as long as she could remember. Her flight landed in Orlando, and she picked up the rental car at the airport. She popped the trunk open and tossed her two suitcases containing everything she owned in the world. If she hurried, she could make the 5 o'clock ferry. All bridges burned already, she thought, as she headed west toward the coast. The next morning, after a long, deep sleep, Lana threw open the door of her quaint and cozy motel room and drew in a magnificent breath of fresh sea air. Sunlight glinted off rippling waves, setting the turquoise waters aglow with millions of sparkling crystals. Overhead, a gull squawked a pointless complaint, scanning for easy spoils. Before her, a path to the beach beckoned. Lana pulled on a T-shirt and a pair of capris, then thrust her feet into the orange flip-flops she'd bought at a shop at the airport the day before. As she stepped out into the dazzling sunlight, she flung her arms open wide to the rising sun and cried, "And this is February. Why did I ever leave?"
Wow, yeah. Next
time I go to the beach, just... It sure does. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit now, too. And and just read another little part here. Rather than going straight back to her apartment after work, Lana stopped by Murphy's Mercantile to pick up some ready-made food for a makeshift dinner. She didn't want to give Mac any reason to rush away, such as he was hungry. Lana knew feeding a man usually produced better work, so she bought pasta salad, ham and Swiss cheese croissants, black olives, and bottles of elderflower cordial. "I'll take a half dozen of those double chocolate brownies," Lana said, indicating the state-of-the-art desserts in a glass case near the cash register in Murphy's. Each brownie was the size of the palm of her hand. "That should keep him energized," she thought. Having a picnic, Megan Murphy, owner Liam Murphy's daughter, asked as she wrapped up the brownies. "You could say that," Lana answered. "I'm trying to woo a contractor into renovating my house." Megan smiled. "That wouldn't be Mac McLaren, would it?" "How did you know?" She shrugged one shoulder. "Word gets around. Summersby Island isn't a very big place." Lana nodded. "Got any inside tips for me?" "He loves licorice, the salty Dutch stuff." She grabbed a little paper bag, flicked it open, and scooped in a portion from a candy jar on top of the glass case. "This is like catnip. You'll have him eating out of your hand in a minute." Lana grinned as she paid for the groceries and picked up the bag. "Thanks. I'll let you know how it turns out." So that gives a little bit of a taste of what happens in the book.
Oh, that's funny, a taste, because that one was all about food. You know?
There you go.
Which I think, yeah, and you know what? I think that brings up another point. Both of the sections you've read from us included a lot of sensory details, and I think that's what's so fun about any kind of series. If there are a lot of sensory details, it really does make a time and place come alive for the readers. And surprisingly enough, even when you're writing about some place that's, you know, an island, and we're trying to bring the island life to life, food details. To me, I love hearing about food. You know, I'm all with you when you're telling us about the licorice and the croissants and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's really fun, you know, to have those kind of details in there.
Yeah, and from a writer's point of view, this is as a coach, and you've probably experienced this too. You know, you hear people say, "Well, show, don't tell," and I've had clients who said, "Well, I don't know what you mean by that." Excuse me for a second. And I explain it this way: you describe it, don't explain it. So if you put yourself in the picture, like step out of, if you imagine yourself stepping out of the door of that motel and seeing the sea and the light sparkling on the water, and you know, you put yourself in it, then describe what you see. That brings the reader into the same sensations, rather than explaining what the reader should see or what you want them to see. If you describe what you see, then they can see it too. And that's what I really try to do in my writing, is just put myself there. What does this taste like? What does the sun on my face feel like? What's the sand in my toes feel like? What does the sparkle on the turquoise water look like? And I think that really makes writing come to life, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I always describe it to my clients as you're trying to make the reader feel as if they're living the experience, not just hearing about it, you know. So when you can really put you in there, and I can just taste the licorice, you know, or I can just see the waves or feel the salt air across my face, then that is more showing instead of just telling, you know. So that's really fun. Well, let's talk for a minute, Wendy, about this book is also going to be showcased at Sweet Romance Writers International. So you want to tell people what that is and what do we do when a book is showcased there?
Sure. Sweet Romance Writers International came about as Suzanne and I have worked together, because we noticed that while there's a lot of subgenres in the romance category, and there's a certain segment of readers who want to read a certain kind of book and don't really necessarily want to have to, you know, wade through all the other categories to find that book. And the category is called sweet romance. It's a fairly new subgenre title, even though these kind of books have been around for centuries, you know, ever since publishing came into being. But the idea of having Sweet Romance Writers International is a place for romance authors and romance readers to find the kind of books that they want to read, and for the authors of these kinds of books to be able to connect with the readers. So you can go to sweetromancewriters.com and get on our mailing list there to hear about the new books coming out, some of our authors. We've got interviews with authors that we've showcased, and that's from the reader's perspective. So it's a great way to sort of keep up on what's new in the sweet romance genre, if that's a kind of romance you want to read. By way of definition, a sweet romance has a lot of romantic tension. There's the story is about the characters. There's a real depth of emotion in it, but the bedroom door tends to be closed. So we don't go, usually in sweet romance there's no profanity and no graphic sex scenes and that kind of thing. And you know, I'm not saying that those are a bad thing, but it's just that we know that there's a segment of the reading population who'd prefer not to read that, but really, really want that intense emotional connection with the characters. So from a reader's perspective, this is a place you can find those books. And from an author's perspective, there are lots of different showcase options that you can take advantage of here, including having your book trailer created. Mm-hmm. You can have, I'm just going to click over here. We do podcast interviews. Your book will be included in the Amazon bookstore at Sweet Romance Writers. So we've got the pages on our site here where you can just find them, click through, buy your book. You'll have your own author page. You have a chance to be a part of our speakers bureau if you're a speaker. You can also be part of our Unboxing the Book video series, which is a kind of a fun idea that we came up with, where you just mail us a copy of your book and we will open it up and do basically a short review in video format and then put it on our YouTube channel. So,
Wendy, did you back away from the phone or something?
Oh, Lucy?
Hello? Yeah, there you are. Yeah,
oh,
you were. Sorry. It was like you muffled for a second.
Oh, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know either.
I'll let you. Do you have other things you want to add about Sweet Romance Writers?
Well, I want to remind people that Sweet Romance Writers International, it is a showcase for Sweet Romance authors, and later this month, the Summersby Island House will be showcased there. We'll have a trailer up for the book soon, and trailers are always a fun way to learn a little bit more about the book and get a feel for the book. Also, this interview will be posted there, so when people are listening to the replay of this, they may be listening to it from Sweet Romance Writers International. Also, we'll be doing a 5-day book tour, a virtual book tour for the book, and that you'll be able to just follow along with all 5 days and find out more about us as authors and more about the book and that kind of thing. And just kind of a fun thing. So check out sweetromancewriters.com to find out more about the showcase. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about writing and editing, the processes we go through, Wendy, for a book like this, because I think We do offer writing contests for Sweet Romance authors, and we'll kind of lead into that next. But, you know, we go through, gosh, quite a lengthy process to put out books like this, and we go through the same process when people enter our writing contest. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, for example, Wendy, you kind of got the idea for this first book, even though we talked about the series and how we wanted to have this series develop. And tell us about how you come up with the whole idea, because you're a different kind of writer than me. I tend to plot everything on paper first, but you do a different process. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. In the fiction writing world, there's kind of two categories that people tend to fall into, not completely, but and in the genre of the industry, you could call them plotters and pantsers. And a pantser is somebody who just kind of writes from the seat of their pants. And I tend to be a little more like that. I read a quote this morning that someone called it writing into the mist. And I don't think it's quite like that for me, but I tend to ideas tend to pop into my head. I just go, oh, that would make a fun idea. And then I start jotting down notes. And often I just develop an idea, you know, while I'm doing other things. I could be creating artwork or doing graphics. I could be driving down the highway, because I live in a village and everything's a little bit of a drive to anywhere else. So I spend highway time, and I don't listen to the radio. I just think about creating a story. And so the stories tend to come together in my mind. A basic overview of the characters and the situation and what's going to happen and kind of how it's going to come about. And then I just start writing, because I'll often get the first scene. I'll work on getting a first scene, and then I'll start writing. And then I kind of make it up as I go along. But I'm not totally in the dark when I do that, because I've already thought about about the plot and the character arcs and, you know, what kind of difficulties they're going to have to overcome and those kind of things. And then the scenes themselves kind of come to me as I go along. Occasionally I talk them over with somebody. You and I have talked over some scenes and, you know, decided, well, this could happen, then that could happen, and then this, especially with regard to a series, then this will work into what's going to happen in the next book and the one after that. And so those kind of things are planned out. But I know that you plot a book a little bit differently. But before we go, I'm just going to let you talk about that in a second. But when I write, then I rewrite, then I rewrite, then I rewrite. And then we go back and forth with the editing, and you will see things that I don't, and I'll see things, you know, in your writing that you don't, because you're often too close to your work. And I have an editor on my team as well that I usually run things by, and she catches little grammatical things that sometimes I miss or things like that. So it is quite a long process, and, you know, we want to put out a really quality product, and I believe that we've done this with this Summersby Island house. So maybe you want to just mention what your plotting style is, Suzanne.
Yeah, mine's more, I kind of start with the premise, you know, who are going to be the main character, who's going to be the main character, what is going to be her problem, what is she searching for or trying to do. And then I kind of, from there, kind of figure out the ending, you know, what's going to happen at the end. So I do the beginning, the ending, and then I kind of figure out the middle. And then once I've kind of got ideas for all that with the various plot points in between, you know, to keep the rising action and that kind of thing, and then figure out, you know, what's the climax of the story, the turning point, the most dramatic part and all that, then I start writing. So I don't know, it seems to take me a lot longer than it does you. I just don't get as much inspiration in terms of here's exactly how I'm going to start writing and then do a lot of rewriting and stuff too. So kind of the same in a lot of ways, but yet maybe I'm just slower to get started, you know, than you are. And I think the good point you brought out here, too, is that when we do the books, whether we're doing a book together or you're doing a book and then I'm doing a book, then, you know, we do go through several rewrites and also edits, revisions, that kind of thing. We also have you proof my work, I proof yours, then we have someone else who proofs it again. Then we go back, we make corrections again, revisions, all that kind of thing. And, you know, we try to be very careful to limit the number of mistakes and things that can be in a manuscript because, I don't know, it seems like no matter how hard you try, there's always something in there that didn't get corrected in the revision process or the proofing process. But, you know, we do our best to try and do that and then eventually kind of get all those mistakes and things weeded out so we come up with a quality product. You know, we're going to run out of time here. We've only got about 2 minutes left. Maybe we could tell people, you know, we do have, what, at least 5 books or 6 books kind of already determined for this series. And, you know, this is the first one. I'll be doing the next one. We kind of flip-flop. You'll do one, I'll do one, then you'll do one, I'll do one. But, yeah, they're all the books in the series are a collaborative process because while one of us is doing most of the writing for one book, then the other one is doing, you know, the edits and the proofing and helping you revise and that kind of thing. So it's kind of fun to have somebody to work together with that you can do that. Before we end for today, Wendy, though, you know, this is something you and I both love to do, but also something we like. Let's talk a little bit about our contest, our sweet romance writing contest that's coming up, because we're accepting submissions for that until December 1st. You want to tell people a little bit about it?
Sure. Our next anthology of short sweet romances is called Sweet Mountain Love. All the details are at creativecaravanpress.com. It's easy to get into. The rules are all there. The guidelines are actually quite simple, and you can write as short as a 5,000-word story and only as long as 12,000 words. So that's something that you can actually write in a few days or a week if you're really concentrating. But we've got the great prizes if you want to get your foot in the door with romance writing. what we do is our prizes are promotional, so your name gets out there. And we do promote our books because we write in them as well, so there's good reason to promote. And so this is a great way for new writers or writers who want to just kind of boost their careers a little bit to get their foot in the door and get in our anthology. And our deadline is December 1st to get your story into us. And all the details, again, are at www.creativecaravanpress.com.
Great. Okay. Well, listen, we are all out of time. Thanks for being here with me today. Thanks for everyone for listening. We hope you will read the Summersby Island House and look forward to all the books in the series as much as we're looking forward to writing them. And also check out sweetromancewriters.com, and you'll see the book featured there in the showcase very soon. So everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.